Welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Steve, and our congregation is pleased to share this message with you today, and we pray it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Blessings as you listen or watch. Today in Luke chapter 1, the perfect family. Now, I don't know if you like to travel or not, but sometimes I like to travel, sometimes I don't like to travel, just depends on the timing of everything, I suppose. And sometimes when we're traveling, if it's our family in the car, for example, this trip, just a few weeks ago, we were able to visit family in Ohio and Indiana. And I've noticed something over the years. Sometimes I'll say, hey, what do you think about stopping for some coffee? And so we'll stop for coffee. Now, when I drink coffee black, generally, black, no cream, no milk, no sugar, nothing, just black. And we have some people cheering in the audience. Okay, I hear you. All right. Now, whenever Natalie says, let's stop for coffee, it's a little bit different. Because her coffee looks a lot different than my coffee. Now, I like the type of coffee she gets, but it has cream and sprinkles and sugar, and it looks really good. In fact, I think if she said, let's stop for dessert, that would be more accurate. Now, I like stopping for dessert, too. And I like those lattes and things occasionally as well. With a little bit of caramel or caramel in that, oh, that can be really good. But generally, that's how we would travel. So let's get some dessert next time, Natalie. What do you say? So traveling, there's a lot of traveling in the passage that we're going to read. We have people going all over the place. The wise men from afar, the shepherds from their fields, Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem, Jesus from heaven to earth. There's a lot of traveling in the Christmas story. Recently, I was able to fly over to Ohio to visit family for the funeral service for my grandmother. 97 years of age, she loved Jesus, was probably a Christian over 70 years. And I love that to be able to say that, as she loved the Lord. And at the funeral service, I was able to meet dozens and dozens of people I haven't seen in years. I mean, 20, 25 years, some of the case. And some cousins I hadn't seen for a long time. And it was really good to see them, to catch up a little bit. Mary and Elizabeth, in our passage, are described as cousins. The word cousins in the Bible just means relative. So they may be immediate cousins. They may be a little bit more distant relative. But we'll just use the word cousins in our context and how we understand it today. It just means a relative. Well, I was able to see my second cousin. Her name, actually her father, and his name is Jack. And he was at the graveside. I hadn't seen him for 25 years or more, and we talked for a little bit, and I said, how's Mary Grace doing? So I talked about my second cousin, and if it was not for Mary Grace, I would not have passed calculus or any of the math classes that I had in school. We were classmates all throughout high school, and so she wasn't at the funeral, but we caught up, and so now my second cousin and I are friends on Facebook. I never thought of that before for some reason, but anyway, second cousins. And so that would be, in this passage, Mary and Elizabeth, cousins, Jesus and John the Baptist. They'd be, I guess you would call that a second cousin. We'll look at a chart here in just a moment to understand that. Well, we have a lot of this happening in our passage. Now, think about why Christ came as we read these verses. Jesus Christ came to pay the price for our sin. He came to dwell among us. He came to this earth so that he would then in turn take us to heaven because of the sacrifice that he would make on our behalf. Jesus joined the human family so we could become members of his heavenly family. So let's look at this family. It's not a perfect as in sinless family, but this is the perfect family that God brought together for Jesus to be born into 2,000 years ago. Then the rest is history, as we could say. Now let's look at the passage here, beginning in verse 5. So Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. I like Zach. That's where we get the name Zach. Zacharias of the course of Abia, and that means a division of Abia. He was part of the people serving in the temple. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So this is a priestly family, a Levitical priestly family. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. So they're not sinless, but they're blameless. They had no child. Because that Elizabeth was barren, so she was physically unable or incapable of having a child, and they both were now well stricken in years. It means they were advanced in age. They were no longer any spring chickens, you could say. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot, so if any of you ever have who's going to work overtime, and you have some kind of a little thing going on in the office or at the workplace, his lot fell to him. Okay, you're going to be the one on the schedule for this time of the sacrifice here. And so his lot fell to him to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So it took about an hour or so, and so they were praying outside for that hour. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not." There's a lot of fear nots in the Christmas story. "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias." That's an Old Testament prophet. "To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this?" He has a little bit of doubt. He says, "Can you prove it to me? Can you demonstrate what you are saying is really going to happen?" "I don't believe it," is essentially how Zacharias is coming across. "Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife, well stricken in years, we're both advanced in age. How can this happen?" And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee glad tidings." That's the word. When show and glad tidings, those words are actually connected together. It's the word eugaleo. It means good news. It means gospel. I'm coming to give you some good news here today, and you're part of this good news story. "Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak." It doesn't mean he's not going to know anything. Dumb in the Bible, it's an old term. It's an old English term. It means he's not able to talk. He becomes mute. And so maybe he even moves his mouth, but nothing comes out. Like, "I don't know why I can't be talking to you right now." Well, the angel just told him. People were kind of wondering. He's going to learn sign language really fast. He's going to write down things, as we find as the story goes. "And behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed." That means until John is born. "Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. His hour was long since up. Where is he at? And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. So she's not showing. She's able to not show the pregnancy for 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." She's rejoicing that now she's no longer barren. She has a child on the way. And chapter 1, verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." This is where the story continues on, and the angel is actually speaking to Mary. We'll come back to that verse in just a moment. I love this narrative. You're not able to have a child, but then you're going to have a child, and this child is going to be a servant of the Lord to pave the way for the Messiah, to be part of this good news story. Look ahead, if you would, to what the angel then, the same angel, appears to Mary sometime later in Luke 1, verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Here the angel is saying something amazing to Mary, that you're going to have a son. And in fact, Elizabeth is going to have a son. Mary arose in those days, as the story continues here, and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, notice this, the babe leaped in her womb. The babe leaped. Now, wait a minute. Is this 6 months of age? Is that what we read? 6 months of age. Babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Oh, this is just absolutely amazing. So let's look at this little chart. Here's the characters in our story today. And here we have Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they then give birth to John the Baptist. Now, it's a miracle in a sense that she was barren, and God enabled for the biology to all work, and she has a child. And it is every conception, I believe, it's a miracle. Every life is a gift from God. It's amazing. And then Mary and Joseph, but Mary is the mother and God the Father, or if you read it more carefully, the Holy Spirit is the Father and the seed, and then Jesus is born. So the stepfather is Joseph. These are the characters in our story here today, and what an amazing story this is. Pregnancy lasts for about 280 days or 40 weeks. Now, I'm no expert, but you ladies know all about this, or many of you do. A preterm or premature baby is delivered before 37 weeks of pregnancy. So they would say it's premature at 37 weeks. Extreme preterm infants are born 23 to 28 weeks. Now, if you look at Wikipedia, which is an online information source, Wikipedia considers a baby a fetus from week 9 until birth. They say it's a fetus until week 9 until birth. What is it before week 9? Would they call it an embryo? What do they call it then? I don't know. I should have looked that up. But they would say it's a fetus from 9 weeks to birth. Well, this fetus, according to them, John the Baptist, he leaped when he heard Mary's voice. He was sensitive to his surroundings. He could hear something. He understood what was going on. He's 24 weeks old in the womb when this takes place. And John responds to the Holy Spirit. He responds to the voice of Mary. And maybe it has more to do with the fact that Jesus, in a very small form, is already there because of the Holy Spirit who had already impregnated Mary. Something to consider and to think about. The happy voice of Mary come in. He's leaping, you know, and that's an amazing thing that takes place. Now, it's very possible, as we continue to look at the story here, that Mary stays for the birth of John the Baptist. There's debate either way. Some people say, well, maybe she stayed, maybe she left. They would say different things. So notice, if you would, in verse 39, Mary arose in those days, went to the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. So she's there for a while. She arrives when Elizabeth is at 6 months and she stays for 3 months. So some people say, well, she left right before the baby John was born. And others would say, well, no, I think that she stayed. I think that she stayed. But some people would say things about the cleansing and things for her being a virgin. But I think a lot of Catholicism reads into that thinking, really, with that. And maybe some other Jewish things with that. But I think that she probably stayed. It's not something to fight about. Was she there or was she not? At any rate, when she walks in, John the Baptist, as we later know him, rejoices. He's excited about what is going on. Now, Mary then leaves in verse 56, and Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So at 3 months in the womb, now I'm talking about Jesus, because remember that verse that we read back here in verse 33. Let's go back to verse 30, actually. It's because now Mary, I skipped over these verses for some reason. Mary is being spoken to by the angel Gabriel. When she saw him, verse 29, she was troubled at his saying and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then this is when Mary says unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I put a few extra question marks there. Like, how could this even work? Is her question. I don't know a man. The word know is just like you would know. Gnosko means to know something, to know somebody, in this case to know a man. She says, I do not know any man. I've never been around a man in a sexual context at all. I don't know how in the world you can say I'm going to have a baby because I've never known a man. I've never known this. How can this be? And to that is this wonderful response. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And here's some evidence, if you would, that God can do anything. Your cousin Elizabeth, you remember her? Oh yeah, I remember her. Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. And then this fabulous verse, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Now, what was the things that would be impossible? Elizabeth to have the baby, and then Mary as a virgin to have a baby. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. So go ahead and let this happen, just like you said. So we already read she returned to her own house after 3 months. When she returns back to her hometown where she's living, we're talking about Nazareth at this point, she goes to her own house. She's not in Joseph's house. They're not married yet. They are not even together in a sense. She was gone all that 3 months. 3 months later, some women may show a little bit pregnancy at 3 months. But at some point, Joseph notices and other people start to notice. And you know how people talk. Hey, what's going on? What's going on? 3 months later, she left. Why did she leave? Cousin Elizabeth's having a baby. I've got to go. An angel told me. She comes back. A few months later, you start to see, you start to tell, something's different. What's going on with Mary? And at 3 months, think about this. When she went back, baby Jesus would have already been fully formed at 3 months, and his teeth would have already started to come in that little baby inside of her womb. And so this is when Job starts to think about, wait a minute. Hey, I'm a spouse to Mary. She pledged her life to me. We have basically the wedding done except for consummating this marriage. Maybe it takes place afterwards, the actual ceremony because they are alone together on their trip, but he knows her not, as the scripture very carefully tells us. But at some point here, it's evident that she has a baby in her womb. How? Joseph's thinking this. Why? What? Has this pure, has this righteous girl done wrong? Aren't you glad any sin can be forgiven? Absolutely. But he's probably thinking, well, and he is. He says, I need to put her away privily. Matthew tells us this. Here's what Matthew says, Matthew 1, verse 20. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad that God shows up at the right time? He's not always early, but he's always on time. Sometimes we kind of wonder, Joseph's about to make a big mistake. I need to put her away privily. I need to divorce her. We're going to build a divorcement. Do it kind of in a private way, not to embarrass her too much, and then move on with my life. And there are critical moments in the life of every family. At the start, sometimes in between, there's different moments, and those are always great times to seek the Lord in your life. Very specific moments. Well, behold, a virgin, Matthew 1:23, shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So why did I describe all of these people? Because Jesus had a family on earth. And while there's not a perfect family in the idea of sinless, he had the perfect family that God gave to him to come into this earth and then to eventually die on the cross and the gospel to be spread throughout all this globe. Mary is described in Matthew 1:23 as a virgin. She is not an older or an experienced woman. She's a young woman. She is a virgin. She has no experience, and partially she's a virgin because of her youth. And she is someone who's in a place that is willing and ready to be of service to the Lord. So I love this idea. Jesus joined the human family so that we could join him in eternity. He joined the human family so that we could join God's heavenly family. Now, I'd like to give you some hope about our families here today, just looking at their example here before us. Families are not perfect, but families are a gift from God. And think of this verse, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Elizabeth is going to have a family. Mary, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a family as well. And sometimes we ponder, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know about my family and young people. Am I ever going to get married? Are we ever going to have a family? Are we going to have kids? What? All these questions. What about this in our life? With God, nothing is impossible. All of this has to do with this family, with some miracles that God was going to do. Elizabeth can have a baby in old age. Mary, you as a virgin can have a baby. Nothing is too hard from God. Can I suggest to you, by way of application, you can have a family that loves God? One day, if God calls you to marriage, you could be married. Your family, your spouse, you could have a restoration that takes place. You could have a new family that God gives to you. There's so many possibilities with our families that God can restore, God can build, God can make new. And I hope that you'll take courage with that. God can answer your prayers about family as well. So hope, have some hope with this. Three observations from the story. Number one, families are not an accident. God has a plan for each person in your family and each person in your home. And each of these characters in this narrative, there's a purpose for them. It's part of this bigger picture of Jesus Christ coming into this world. Now, people have free will to choose. People have free will to choose. And you say, well, my story's not a happily ever after. I understand there's a lot of broken hearts. There's a lot of broken families. There's a lot of broken experiences in our life. And all of that goes back to our sin nature. And it wasn't like what I hoped it would be. And this upbringing wasn't what I hoped for. God knows all of that. The reason things don't turn out is because of our sin nature. And you know what? It's us who mess stuff up. If it's not you, it's the other person. And more than likely, it's both of you. Or all of us. Because of our personal pride. So, young people, think about this. The family you have is not an accident. Well, I don't know about my parents, or I don't know about where I live, and I want to complain about this and that. It's not an accident. You were born, and you live where you live. It's not an accident who your parents are. God has a big picture for all of us in mind concerning the gospel of Christ. And so it's not an accident. We don't always realize God's plans. In fact, sometimes we miss it because in our hard heart, in our sinful nature, we just rebel. We don't accept. We don't look for God. We don't search for the Lord like we should. But friend, be encouraged. God has a plan for every one of you here today. And in the context of the home that you're in, God has a plan in your life as well. Romans 8:28 tells us, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Along the same thinking, there are no accidental conceptions or births. No accident. There's no child that's incidental or accidental. And sometimes people look at that, and that's why for many the abortion industry is so big. There's no accidents and no kid is incidental. God knows. God knows them. There's a purpose for their life, whether they can arrive at it or not, because of our sin-cursed world and the way that people choose. Remember, people have a free will to choose. That's why some things never work out the way that God intends for them to work out. Parents, make sure that you affirm each child in your family that they're not an accident and they're not incidental. They're not just a by the way, that they're important to God. Such an important thing to convey to them. So families are from God. They're not an accident. There's a preacher named Dr. A.C. Dixon, and he said when their little boy Harold had died, he was just a young little boy, all the enjoyment in their life was gone. He had no joy in preaching, had no joy in ministry work or anything that he had done. And the Christmas season, they had a kid's play, and the kids were all around the Christmas tree, and they were having a good time, and he was looking at that, and he was very sad as he watched the other kids, and it seemed like they had all forgotten about little Harold, who had died not too long ago. Well, the next day was Christmas, and as he sat around the table with his kids, the other remaining kids, one of the little ones looked up at him and said, "Papa, this is Harold's first day in heaven. First Christmas, rather, in heaven." And another one responded, "Yeah, I think that Christmas is every day in heaven." And he was so joyful thinking about, that's true. Little Harold is experiencing something that we've not yet experienced. He's in the presence of Jesus. He's there face to face. And his countenance changed. It changed the way that he looked at it. Not everything works out in our lives or in our families like we would like or what we hope for. But as we follow the Lord, we can always remember that families are not an accident. God has a purpose for your family. You're not an accident. Doesn't matter what somebody told you. You are not an accident. You are valuable to God. You are worth it to Him. Number two, God uses regular people. Well, there was a perfect couple. And the perfect man met the perfect woman, and they were married and had the perfect marriage. And one Christmas Eve, as they were driving down the highway, they noticed a man stranded along the side of the road. And it was Santa Claus. He was running late, delivering some packages, and they saw him. So this perfect couple, wanting to be the perfect couple, they stopped to give a ride to Santa Claus. Well, the roads were icy, and as they were driving, the car crashed, and two people died. Who do you think survived? Well, actually, the two people who died were Santa Claus and the man, because everybody knows Santa Claus and the perfect man doesn't exist. The perfect woman, she's still alive. Well, God uses regular people. You know how we look at each other sometimes? Oh, they have it all together. They're perfect. They have all their ducks lined up in a row. No problems. Everything's easy for them. If I just had their job, if I just had their life, if I just had their family, everything would be so good. If we just, and we kind of look and compare and things like that, no perfect family in a sense of sinlessness. But listen, God uses regular people. Regular people. Here's Elizabeth. Let's keep reading about her in verse 57 of chapter 1 of Luke. Now, Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. So all these relatives come, and they are there. And it came to pass on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. That was a custom. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." Nobody's been called John in our family. Where's John come from, they ask. There's none of thy kindred call this name. And they made signs to the father. Remember, he can't talk. He's still mute. And so they had the original tablet. You know, they had tablets. I have a tablet. You have tablets. Well, he wrote on something, a tablet, and he writes on something, and he spells out John. What's his name, Zach, what's his name? John. We're going to call him John. They all marvel about this. And immediately, Zacharias' tongue was loosed, and he spake, praising God. Just like the angel had said. Just like Gabriel had told this couple. So here's Elizabeth. She wasn't perfect, but she was ready to serve God. Here's Zach. He wasn't perfect, but he was willing to serve the Lord. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 67. His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." And he goes on and says some amazing things about God and God's faithfulness and how God would provide. And then there's John. I like John. He's a fun character in Scripture. Well, here's young John, verse 80. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Now, John is a peculiar person. Some people call him Crazy John, Crazy Cousin John. John would not have set any clothing trends in Israel at the time. He had camel's hair that he would wear for clothing. People wouldn't consult him for culinary cooking type things because he ate bugs. That was what he liked to consume. And his preaching style, none of the orators of the day would consult John on how to preach because he was very abrasive. And real estate agents, they didn't care about where he was at because he was always in the wilderness. Nobody wants to sell real estate to anybody. Nobody wanted to live where he lived. But he is the one. When Jesus came over the hillside, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John was just a regular person. He had some peculiarities. And by the way, everybody's normal until you get to know him. These are just regular people. John grew up. He's going to be used by God. How about Mary? We need to look at something with Mary. Look in chapter 2, verse 21. This is something that a lot of people miss, and a lot of religious groups even don't seem to take note of. When 8 days were accomplished, this is after the birth of Jesus. His name was called Jesus, which is so named of the angels before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of a purification of the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This is 40 days later. As it is written, "In the law of the Lord, every male that openeth womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." This would be the offering of people who were rather poor. They didn't have much money. A lamb could have been given, but they didn't have the money for a lamb to offer that. Why is this so important? She offers a sacrifice. And it's a very specific thing in the Old Testament. You can read about it. It's all in Leviticus chapter 12, just 8 verses in that chapter. Now, the birth of a child, we think of this as a happy occasion, but in Judaism, under the law, was a reminder. At the birth, there had to be a reminder that sin was transmitted from the parent to the children. And sin was transmitted. Thus, the mother was banned from performing religious duties for 40 days in the case of a boy, 80 days in the case of a girl. And after this time, she had to bring a burnt offering and a sin offering. What's so important about this? The sin offering was not for the baby. The burnt offering was not for the baby. It was for the mom. Some people say that Mary was perfect, as in sinless. Not true. She brought an offering because she was not perfect. She was not sinless. It's a great teaching. All of us need to understand that about this. She was available. She was willing to be used of God. She was not sinless. That's why she needed to bring a sacrifice. Mary was pure in body. She was right in spirit, but not sinless. Mary needed baby Jesus just as much as we need Jesus. And so keep remembering that when you talk to family around Christmas time about why Jesus Christ came. And then Joseph. You got to love Joseph. He was willing to travel, and he was willing to follow the Lord as well and to take Mary unto him as his wife. He was willing to be a participant in all of this as a stepfather to the baby Jesus. And you can read more about him in Luke chapter 2. We won't read those verses today. All of this to say God uses willing people, not sinless people. God uses regular people, not outstanding people. He can use you in his service. He can use me in his service. Just regular people. The famous people, the perfect people that we know of, they're not really that perfect after all. A lot of people just make the most of their situation. They're the ones that we really admire. They make the most of their situation. Not everything's perfect in their life either. Jesus joined the human family so we could become members of his heavenly family. Families are not an accident. God uses regular people. And friends, God's family is incomplete without you. God's family is incomplete without you. Jesus came to this family of humans so that we could have a family and be in the family of God in heaven. Would you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You see, Jesus traded sinlessness for our sin. He took our sin. He left heaven to come to this earth so he could take us all back to heaven to be with him. Jesus took your death and my death on the cross so that you could have a new life in Christ and forgiveness of your sins. So you wouldn't have to pay the price, which is death, for your sin. God wants to be your heavenly Father. Jesus became a child so that you could become a child of God. Would you trust Jesus? John 1:12 is a wonderful, wonderful passage, wonderful verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Three key terms: receive, believe, and that equals become. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are believing the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. I can't save myself. I can't do enough good. I can't be good enough. I cannot be religious enough to earn or gain entrance into heaven. But Jesus paid it all on the cross, and I believe that. He rose again on the third day. I'm confessing, repenting my sin. I'm trusting Jesus and Jesus alone as my Savior. Have you ever prayed like that and asked him to save you? That's how you become a child of God. You can become a son or a daughter of God today. And friend, his family's not complete without you. The reason Jesus came to this earth was for you and me. Would you believe the gospel for yourself today? Thank you for your good attention today. Let's take some time to pray and visit with the Lord and make a decision for God. Families are not perfect. Families are a gift from God. I hope that you've been inspired and encouraged about your family. Maybe today you would thank God for your family. Well, it's not perfect. We know that. Maybe things are less than ideal. That's all right. All of us, if we were honest, would say there's something wrong with us. Thank God for your family today. Would you do that? Maybe God spoke to you. I just need to thank God for my family. Anyone, just raise your hand quickly. Thank God for my family. It's not perfect, but I'm thankful. God bless. You have a spouse or you have a family. You have some kids. All right. All right, maybe God will give you a spouse one day. You can pray for that. Young people, maybe God will give you a family. Second question, are you asking the Lord to perform his will through your life? Would you be like these characters we described, be willing? They're not perfect. They're regular people, but they're willing people. God, help me to be willing to live the life that you've called me to live, to make the most of my family, to make the most of the opportunities that you've given to me, to be the Christian that you've called me to be. Lord, help me to perform your will in my life. I am willing. Anybody like that? Hands are already up all around. Yes, God bless you. Be willing. Be willing. God can use you just like these people. And finally, are you part of God's family? There's some friends right now, maybe on this campus or maybe watching, you've not yet trusted Christ. Today, believe the gospel. Maybe somebody in this room right now, you say, I'd like to know more about salvation. I would like to know more about becoming a son or a daughter of God, to know my sins are forgiven. I'd like to know more. I'm not going to call you out. I do want to talk to you afterwards, but I want to pray with you right now. Anybody like that? Just raise your hand. Anybody at all? I'd like to know more about salvation. All right. God bless you. Thank you. Are there anyone else? Are there others? All right. Thank you. Let's take some time and talk to the Lord. Go ahead and pray about any decision He's impressed upon you. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that You use regular people. We thank You for the miraculous birth of Jesus. We thank You for the characters that we've looked at and how they were regular people, but they were willing. Lord, I pray that You would encourage each one here with their families. Our families are not an accident, and we're just regular people that You can use in Your service to continue to share the gospel, to see others come to faith in Christ. So encourage each heart here today, not to compare, not to look at others, but to make the most of what You've given and who You've given to us, to love them and to show love and acceptance and encouragement each day. Lord, we do pray that those who have not yet trusted Christ, that today they would be born again, that they would become part of God's family. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for this Christmas season. We rejoice in Jesus today, and we give thanks. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being a part of our service here today, and have a very Merry Christmas. Please get your calendars on the way out, and there's also a nice little booklet there that you can take as well. Read it and share it with others if you would. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. Have a Merry Christmas. God bless.